through 8.
18. 1. Oh, is 18. What did I say? I said chapter 8. Sorry. That's only my second mistake of the day. Okay. Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 8. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge, which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, no regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth. 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we shall have the petitions that we have desired of him, that we desired of him. The Japanese. Oh, yay!
ルカによる福音書18章1節から8節、いつでも祈るべきであり、失望してはならないことを教えるためにイエスは彼らに例えを話された。ある町に神を恐れず、人を人をとも思わない裁判官がいた。その町に一人のヤモメがいたが、彼のところにやってきては、私の相手を裁いて私を守ってくださいと言っていた。彼はしばらくは取り合わないでいたが、後には心ひそかに、私は神を恐れず人を人をとも思わないが、どうもこのヤモメはうるさくて仕方がないから、この女のために裁判をしてやることにしよう。でないとひっきりなしにやってきてうるさくて仕方がないと言った。主は言われた。不正な裁判官の言っていることを聞きなさい。まして神は夜昼神を呼び求めている先民のために裁きをつけないで、いつまでもそのことを放っておかれることがあるでしょうか。あなた方に言いますが、神は速やかに彼らのために正しい裁きをしてくださいます。しかし人の子が来たとき、果たして地上に信仰が見られるでしょうか。第一ヨハネの手紙5章14節から15節。何事でも神の御心にかなう願いをするなら、神はその願いを聞いてくださるということ、これこそ神に対する私たちの確信です。私たちの願うことを神が聞いてくださると知れば、神に願ったそのことはすでに叶えられたと知るのです。
Thank you very much. AmenI want to share something very quickly. It's a little bit of information that I think you need to know. In the bulletin, it's got my telephone number there. It's got my correct email address. I don't mind you sending me emails, things you find on the internet that are of interest to you, or questions, whatever. But my telephone number is not that one anymore, okay? So we'll make the change, so it's in the bulletin. I do apologize, Tamel. I never thought about the actual number. We changed it just a few months ago. Same area code, 520-262. Let me know if you're okay with that so far. 262-5675. 5675. I got some good news about my home life here, going on. My wife and I bought a printer yesterday, so I don't have to run down to the FedEx place and ask them to try to print something. I actually, the reason, Tamal, I was kind of wondering if you had received this whole sermon correctly, because I was using a different program, which is in my computer, and I took it over to FedEx one day, and the lady printed it out, and she said, well, it came out as a bunch of squares and dashes and all kind of stuff. And so they had to do something over there to it so that it would print. But she said, it was my little zip drive, you know, the finger drive. And then she said, but you can't do any corrections to it. And I said, what kind of program do I have that I can't even print my own sermon if I want to make corrections, you know, during the week, that I can't do it? But all is well. Yesterday, my wife and I and our new printer were able to print my message, which I have it right here. Then I went into my office. I had all my stuff loaded up on my cell phone from the HP, you know, Hewlett-Packard, whatever they wanted there on the app and all that. And I actually printed out one of our calendars. So I'm very successful today. Very happy. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. And I just want you all to know that, okay, in the next few weeks, I'll be in the pulpit. I'll be preaching. In May, my wife and I have already got a vacation lined up, but we're going to have it covered during those 2 weeks that we're gone, so don't worry about that. But I just want you to be comfortable where we are. There's no changes coming. I made that a little bit in a statement I said to the board members, I think. But it's just I just like what we're doing, and I'm part of this. And my wife and I are here. We're here by the invite of Anna. Anna's here by the invite of Mandy. And so I wonder how many others are through an invitation from somebody. Well, it's just something that hit my mind one day. How important it is to be able to say, would you like to come to church? And yes or no. You know, they'll say yes. They'll say no. Maybe. You know. And that kind of thing. Well, anyway. So just wanted you to get the right phone number and know where I'm at. I'm excited so much about today's message. And by way of testimony, I've shared it before, but prayer is the most important thing that we do. You just have to really get that in your head. It is the most important thing we do. I oftentimes call prayer, it's my own terminology, I've never heard it from anybody else, but it works for me, is that if Peter said that we're the lively stones of this temple, this building, that we're the lively stones, we're alive, we're those that are part of it in the natural, physical, like a rock on top of a rock, but we're lively stones, we make up the building of God, then what holds it together? And I say it's the mortar in between these stones that holds this together, that one stone on top of another. I was absolutely amazed when I went to, my wife and I were in Germany, and there's a town called Trier, which sounds more French than it does German, so I don't know what the connection there. But there is some Roman ruins there. Not little small things like a little pile of rock that you might find in some places, but entire, I don't even know what it's called, like this bridge or this arch. And it goes from one end to the other. And you can look at where the stucco or the outer layer has worn away. And you're looking at Roman bricks from 2,000 years ago. And in between those bricks is actual cement holding them together. The Romans figured out how to build something by using cement. Don't ask me how they came across it, but they had that ability, and that thing still stands today. So when I say to you that mortar in between these lively stones is the most important part of what we do, I'm not telling you a fable. I'm letting you know that Jesus practiced prayer. He gave himself to prayer. Now you might say, well, he had all the time he wanted. No, he didn't. He did not have all the time he wanted. He had people coming to him, pressing on him, wanting to be healed, wanting their needs to be met, wanting to be taught, and he would go out alone into the wilderness, and they would follow him there. So when Jesus would pray all night, it was his time to really get rejuvenated, get revived, get alive again, and center his whole ministry on what he was called to do. We sang the song about the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus went in there, and the Bible says he prayed so hard that the sweat on his forehead became as droplets of blood, and probably in a real literal way. They say that's possible when you're under so much strain and you're under so much pressure in life that even your blood vessels will begin to burst. I cannot imagine that kind of a burden that is upon somebody. And when he went into the garden to pray, and he goes there and he looks to Peter and John to help him, and I can't remember one other disciple possibly, but the men that he counted on, that inner circle, and he says, come on with me, I'm going to do some praying. They're going, yeah, let's go pray. And about a half an hour later, they're, I'm tired, I'm too tired, I'm going to go to sleep. And then Jesus wonders where they are, you know, and he goes and he finds them and they're asleep. He wakes them up. I think he did that three times, you guys, not just once, but three times. And he went over there and he finally just said, well, that's it, right? But Jesus is in that garden and he's praying. And he's seeking God and he's praying. He said, if I can have this cup pass from me. I mean, it sounds so human when he says it, in such a earthly way that says, but nevertheless, not my will be done, but thine be done. So at that moment, even Jesus is seeing the crucifixion and what it meant. He knew it beforehand. And that was his goal. That was his direction in life. So I just kind of want to say that as I lay this out before you today, that we're going to talk about prayer this week, next week, and maybe the week after that. I don't know, but I know for sure we'll be back in Luke next week. And I'll have that sermon ready to go sometime today or tomorrow. So I know the direction. But the hardest practice that you will ever attempt to acquire as a believer is a solid prayer life. It's not easy to be satisfied where you are and your private praying. I know it. I've talked with enough people. Almost everyone will say, I need to find more time. And they'll mention three things: prayer, reading their Bible, and witnessing. I think there's one more, though. I forgot what I... But there are three things that usually block somebody and keeps them from really doing what... Oh, I was attending church. Three things that you'd be blocked with. So a believer only has so much time in a day to pray, and it happens so occasionally or randomly that I'm praying that God would help us to understand that in a way better and bigger than ever before. And I'm going to fit it into all lifestyles. And those that are with families, we don't have our kids with us, but parents with young children, oh my goodness, do they go through a battle? I remember when I was younger, a married life, and Anna was a little girl, and Eva, and they'd be in their bedroom, they'd be praying. I would go in my bedroom for a quiet time of prayer. They'd be knocking on my door, and I'd hear my wife washing dishes in the kitchen, and there'd be all this noise. I might hear the vacuum cleaner go on, and I would just get frustrated. I would say, come on, Lord, I just want to have a time to pray and be alone, but my family needs. So I understand about family needs. All right, so just don't think I'm going here saying, well, look at your life now and you have time for this, time for that. So raising children is much the same way as just having a busy life. A job gets in the way. And in America, a job can get in the way more than you ever wanted to get in the way, more than you ever intended. But it's the way things are. So there's a job that is a needed commodity. There's a home raising children that steal away the time, in that sense of praying. And then there's other factors or hindrances of prayer that are many. I could expound on them all. I feel like I could hit them all. But you understand that I understand. That's what I want you to get today. That this is where we are. We're going to work with what we have. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, and then she goes by Alexandria. And I know she's out with her child right now, I understand, but look what we have here. We have 12 people right in this room right now. Amen. How many disciples did Jesus have? 12. He had 12. Amen. So we're part of the 12 now. Amen. We're the called out ones. We're really special today. Amen. So when God calls us to pray, that those are the things that could get in our way. But then there's this other side of the story. Let me explain it in a natural kind of way. I went to my doctor, and he's very soft-spoken, and it's almost like I have to have every question I want to ask him all lined up beforehand. My wife always says, write your questions down. I forget to do that, so I get in there, and he goes, are there any questions? And I go, well, my wife had a question I should ask you. And then I'll say no, and he'll say, okay, well, we're all done. But one day, he looked at me, and my weight was about 215 pounds. And I'm there, and he says to me, well, there is one thing, Tom, I want you to start thinking about. And I said, okay, what is that? You need to really think about getting down to about 200 pounds. And he said, the way to do that is, you know, diet, exercise. That's what he said, right? I said back to him, I call him Doc. I hope he doesn't mind. I said, well, Doc, what you don't understand is I've got a very busy schedule. I don't even know where I put exercise into my day, right? And he said these words to me. He said, well, you're getting heavier, number one, from your last visit. So you're not going to be going the other way. You're going that way. Very unhealthy for you, your cholesterol, blood pressure, all that stuff. Well, I know of that. And then he said, and if you continue to eat the food you're eating, that's going to make it even that much worse. And he left it at that. And so I said, how am I going to do this? Well, my wife, praise God for wives, she said to me one day, I want to do aqua fitness. I said, what's that? That's moving around in the water exercising. I said, I don't know about that one. She said, no, I think we should do it. Well, it's not easy for her to convince me to do something. So she went on her own one day. And then she kept saying, don't you want to go with me? And I said, okay, I'll go with you. You know, you like it. I don't even like the water. I'll never go underneath the water, you guys. There's just something about me. I don't go under the water. My granddaughter, by the way, she says, does it hurt your eyes? I said, yes, it does. Well, here's some goggles that you can wear. I said, well, okay, I put them on, and then I go in there to come up, and she said, see, wasn't that good? And I'm like, and I said, oh, yeah, that's nice. You always have to wear your goggles when you go in our pool. Okay, I will always wear goggles. So she really wants me to go under the water. I mean, these are kids, like underneath, you know, jumping, diving in, all that stuff. And I'm like just jumping around like that. Well, anyway, Julie goes to one of those workouts, and I said, I'd like to go there with you then. Okay, let's do it. And so the next time she goes, I went with her. And, I mean, you know, I'm in the water, and I thought, what are we going to do? And she said, you'll like it. I said, okay. Nobody's looking at you. I said, that's not true. They're all looking at me. They got to be. And so I go in the water at this place, and I meet this guy. He's an Italian fella, and he's very outspoken. He says, have you done this before? I said, no, my first time. It's easy. Follow me. And he said, all we do is move around. And so I got a conversation going, so I decided, okay, maybe I do like this a little bit. Here's a guy I met. He was real nice about it. Well, the bottom line is this. I started going. And now I don't want to miss. Do you hear what I'm saying? At first, I didn't want to go. And then Julie says, we've got to do this. And so now, which is really neat, is that Julie and Anna and myself, we meet up, and when we go, we exercise, and afterwards we go out to eat. And every time I'm jumping around, I'm thinking, we're going to go out to eat after this. I can do this, you know. And I'm thinking, only 45 more minutes, I'm out of here, and I'm in the restaurant. But I keep thinking I'm doing something for my body. And the bottom line is, I'm losing weight. So my doctor is going to be very happy with me. And my diet is changing. That's another one. My point is this. Here's what we say about prayer. I don't have the time. Or there's a lot of things in the way. Or I don't know what goes on in your evenings, but if you worked all day and you flop down in a chair, it's usually it, right? I mean, that's the end of your day. You're tired. You've done a full day of stress, and you're just not really into something like that. However, my point is that if you just get going with something, A little here, a little there. It's just like exercise. Just push yourself a little bit, a little here, a little there. Julie had a brother, his name was Larry. He's passed away a few years ago. But he had dropped some weight. He went from about, 250. I don't know what he weighed. He was a kind of a shorter, he was shorter than I was. But whatever his weight was, he really lost some weight. And so I said to him one day, I asked him, I said, "Hey, Larry," I said, "if you could simplify this," I said, "what things, what two or three things did you do to lose weight?" And his answer was just phenomenal. It was so wonderful. Because you're thinking a big long list, right? I eat these nuts at 2 o'clock, and then I go and eat, you know, this, and I have a protein drink here, and I do this. But no, he said, "exercise more, eat less." Isn't that neat? I just thought, exercise more and eat less. Yeah, that's it. I could write a diet book now. It'd be all blank pages after that. I just write the first page. Exercise more, turn the page. Eat less. The end. And everybody, "I don't want to buy that," but that's what it comes down to, right? You all know how to eat better food, right? Eat less, I'll eat less French fries. No, you know what to do there. And exercise more, you know what that means. So in a sense of praying, I want to move this down into praying. What it means for us is a little thing here or there. Remember that adjustment on that big 360-degree diameter wheel that we could look at, and we see that the top is zero, and then over here we have a 45, and then at 90, and those kind of things, just moving around 180 and so forth. Well, it's a little adjustment. We're going to go a little ways here. We're going to do something, because my goal is to inspire you that no matter what it is, no matter how big it is or how little it is, there would be a new vibrancy about prayer, a new something about prayer where, yes, I want to do this. And you get to the place where I now have to go. On Monday night, it's time for exercise. I know it all day long. I'm going to be ready to go at 5 o'clock, and we make that drive way across town to be there. I know the instructor. I know what I'm supposed to do in the water. And these things begin to be a part of the lifestyle. And they always tell you that, but you don't really know it until you know it. You don't really know it until you do it and get an understanding about it. So prayer is no exception. I want to present to this church a goal to shoot for, a target. The hardest thing we do in praying is sometimes we don't shoot for a target. We just kind of hit and miss and hope for the best. My dad would pray for the missionaries around the world when he was praying for the food at the table. It was like, "Okay, Dad, there's no ending to this prayer. We're now praying for missionaries. Missionaries in India, missionaries in China, missionaries in Europe." And you're going, "Okay, there's no amen to this prayer." And it's almost like you just want to start digging in. And so my dad's prayer was sort of like, "Let's shoot them out there somewhere. Hope for the best." But I want us to zero in on a target. I'll give you the target here in a moment. So here's some basic ideas. Number one, just know truth about it. Let's come to grips about the truth. Let's say a church has 100 people in it. We may be there one day. In fact, I believe once upon a time, you guys must have been around 80. Am I right on that number? Or not 80, 50?
40.
Oh, 40.
40, 45.
Okay, not a problem. But let's just say that we grow to 100. Miracle happens. And let's just say that the pastor decides to have a midweek service. So he wants to bring it all back out again in the midweek service. Well, in the morning, on Sunday morning, 100 people show up, praise the Lord. Everybody's happy. How many do you think are going to show up in a midweek service? Just give me a number out there. Anybody in the group today. How many do you think will return on a Wednesday night from 7 to 8:30 for a service?
20.
How many?
20.
Okay.
12.
12. Might be us. Very good. I don't know what you're thinking of, but by experience, as a pastor, you would see a congregation in the morning, but on Wednesday, it'd be a lot less. And those were what we would call the faithful few. And we always said the rapture was going to happen on a Wednesday night. You know, because it's like, where were you? You know, and they missed the rapture because they weren't in church, which is not going to happen. But we would always think that, you know, and we sort of live that way in that kind of belief system. So in other words, it drops way down, right? Now, if the pastor decided instead of having a Wednesday night service, you know, that we're going to get together for prayer, now what happens? What do you think happens? Just shoot out another number at me.
Even less.
Like how many less?
Three.
Okay, we've seen it. Anybody else with a number? In other words, what you can do is listen to this, you guys. We agree it's the most important thing we do. It'll be the most important congregational thing we do, which is absolutely true. But those that really get into it are going to be so few. And there's reasons for that. And all those reasons are not just natural reasons. In other words, if we have 100 people that attend, if a pastor has 50 on a Wednesday night, he's going to be overjoyed. It's going to be a great number. He will even be bragging about that number. But if he calls for a midweek prayer meeting, that 50 people is going to go down into about 15 people at the most. And those will be the ones that are really seeking God. So I'm thinking, okay, I don't know if it can be turned around or not, but I just want to deal with some things that get in the way. All right? These are spiritual things, but they will look like natural things. All right? I'm just going to help you out now. Tomorrow night, I am going to come home from work, or tomorrow night, I'm going to pray for 15 minutes. I'm just going to do it. I don't know about you, but if I do it, anywhere near the house that needs to have things done to it, I'll be thinking to myself, I wonder if I should get those dishes done for Julie when she comes home from work. Yeah, I think I'll do that first. Dishes. Not even something I do, right? But now I'm doing the dishes. And then I'm thinking, I wonder if I should dust that cabinet, which I never dust anyway. But all of a sudden, comes in my mind, I'm going to dust. I'm the duster. Dusting for Julie. Yeah, I'm going to get in prayer in just a little while. Don't worry, Lord, I'll be in there. Yeah, okay. And then, I think, you know what? That pot that we didn't clean out yesterday, it's going to take that really, get into a steel wool pad. I think I'll get on that one, because when Julie comes home from work, because she comes home a little bit later, I'll just get in it then. And then Julie comes home. Then it's like, what do you want for dinner? What do you want to do now? Oh, this is on TV. You want to watch that. And what happens? Now, I'm talking spiritual. I'm not talking natural. All of a sudden, something gets in the way. But it wasn't in the way before in your life. You never thought about those dishes, Tom Lipa. You didn't think about dusting that cabinet. You never thought about cleaning out that pan until at that moment when you said that tomorrow night I was going to pray. And when I get to that moment in prayer, things happen. Other things happen. Now, I mentioned to you about a couple other things. And I'm going to try to move quickly here. But listen to this. So I started, you guys know, I was in a circle here. We did those small groups a few weeks ago. Pastor Rocky was sick, and so we had a meeting right here. Brother Phil, I'll call him, he led that meeting that day, did a great job. I think that Casio had a group back there, praise God. And in there, I was talking about being inspired for prayer. That was my inspiration. That hasn't left me. But what I do now is I didn't carve out. I wanted to say, carve out some time. Like, chisel this out. I'm going to get more time for prayer. Force myself through that door. Crash. Down to my knees. No, wasn't like that at all. I just said, you know, I'm just going to go in my office. I'm going to sit there and I'm going to wait on God. We sang that song today, Waiting on God. I forgot a funny thing. It was about a funny thing in the song. And it was about hearing the Lord, waiting on God. So I go in there and I start praying. And I have no specific goals in mind. Nothing. I go with a blank slate every time. I sit there and I say, okay, Lord, here I am. One day I felt like writing a letter to God. Dear Lord. And these are things I'm going through. Another time I'm writing out prayer requests. Another time I'm thinking about some of the difficulties we have as Christians. All of that. So those are the things that begin to happen in my mind as I go in there. But now it's become where I enjoy going in there. Now, my lifestyle is different today. And my wife and I are at a different stage in our lives. There's no kids running around. It's usually about 7 o'clock. About 7, I might go in there. And I don't even look at the clock. It's not like timed and all that stuff. I just go in, and all I want to do is sit and pray. Now, what happened directly after that? A couple of things take place. I mentioned this to you once before, but I'm going to do it now because these are spiritual things. All of a sudden, my truck broke down twice in 1 week. On the road, overheating, and I'm calling the tow truck. Now, luckily, or praise the Lord, that we decided to get towing on this truck, the old truck. My old truck needs towing for free, right? I mean, guy, where are you going? Back to, you know. And I called Julie. Guess what happened? Where are you? Ina. Your truck broke down? Yes. I'll be home in 2.5-3 hours. I'll be there eventually. Well, I'll call you and make sure you're okay. So, truck breaks down twice. But that's not all. I forgot to mention, you guys, something else that took place. Something really weird. My wife and I were in front of this guy in a pickup truck. And all of a sudden, I noticed that something in the back of his truck, as he had his tailgate down, was beginning to slide out of there. And as I went up the road a little further, because now he was slowing down a little bit, he had an aluminum extension ladder that come rolling out of the back of his truck, and it went spinning around the road right in front of me, and it spun over to the next lane. That guy was cutting way over to miss it, but he hit it, kind of mushed it in my lane a little bit, and I'm heading over here to miss the ladder. And I said, that was close. So I began to realize, I said, think about it now, Tom. Put your mind to work here. You've got in to pray. And these are things happening. Now, the third thing is, and I'll share this with you very quickly. And you heard about my exercising already. See, now you know my life. I'm into exercise. And if you don't want to do it, I'm going to get on you. And I'm going to say, no, I'm not. But all of a sudden, people in the pool are becoming mean. Right? And Julie brought this up this morning as we prayed for the service. I didn't even think about this. And she was praying about those attacks from the enemy. We get in the pool, and this has happened 3 times. I'm in their place in the pool. Right? I mean, it's like they got this circle drawn out, and they have told me to move. Could you go over there? This is my spot. It reminds me of people who get stuck in a chair in church. That's their spot, right? And you dare not touch that spot. It happens. I mean, it's so carnal. But all of a sudden, that went on. And then the other day, yesterday, I'm going to just share it real quickly, that Anna's on the other end of the pool, and there are some ladies talking, and they wouldn't stop talking. Anna asked them, would you please be quiet? And they did not like being told to be quiet. So we went to Anna went to the instructor. And the instructor says, how many teachers do we have? And one of those talkers, it was so loud, and all they want to do is talk. It's the weirdest thing. They don't go to exercise, they go to talk. They move like that. Oh yeah, this is what's going on in my life. And we're supposed to be jumping and moving and doing all this, and they're like, boy, it's a good exercise today, aren't you? We're working. You tired? No, not tired, too bad. Well, you look tired. I'm tired. I'm real tired now. I think I'll just stop that hard exercise right there. I think I'm going to go back to this little movement here. Yeah, there you are, I'm moving my hands. And they just want to socialize. Now you say, well, that's just normal stuff. Normal stuff. Listen to me. No. Things will happen to you. Try it sometime. Just say, I'm going to set aside tomorrow night for prayer and watch the things that get in your way. You go to your car tomorrow morning and it doesn't start. You say, well, that's normal. It could be normal and natural. But the more you get into prayer, the more the enemy fights. Final thought. The devil, the enemy, Satan, whatever you want to call him, he is going to fight you about your prayer time the hardest of anything you do. Mark it down. Mark that down in your head somewhere. If you set aside prayer time, you're going to be fought. He's going to come after you. He's going to try whatever he can. He'll make your phone ring when it doesn't normally ring. Somebody in your family is going to be sick. They need something. Your daughter, your son, somebody is going to have a car that broke down. They're going to need to talk to you. It's very important they talk to you right now. And just know those things are going to happen. It's just going to happen. So all these things around us begin to happen. There's a movement taking place. Because you're digging into the spiritual, you're going down deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper into the things of God. You're reaching out to the Lord, you're reaching up to Him. He's looking down upon you. You look at these songs that were written years ago. These were written by people that had been through life experiences you would not even believe. And so they were able to write down these great songs of old. And when they do, they last throughout all the ages. But believe me, if you look at their life, they've gone through tremendous turmoil, tremendous disappointment or tremendous hurts and all of that. But they kept on going. So I'm telling you today, get persistent with your prayer time. Let's do it together. I don't like to do things separately. I want people to come with me. I don't know how many are going to come along, but I'm just letting you know, be persistent in this area. Get down to business and say, I'm going to 10 minutes. What's wrong with 10 minutes? Oh yeah, things will get in the way, but give the Lord 10 minutes of your time. Just sit down. Don't even talk to the Lord. Don't even go into a whole discussion about your needs. Just get there and say, Lord, I'm just in your presence. I just want to sit here and put on some music. My daughter Eva puts on music. She puts on worship music. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with praying in your car either while you're driving. And I thought, like, one time I said, that's not right. But I do it all the time. So it must be okay. I mean, God doesn't say, stop that praying now. Okay, Lord, I'll stop praying in my car. I just felt this a good place. No, not here. You've got to be in your closet of prayer. Not really. You need to be wherever you're comfortable. Those songs are wonderful. Amen. So, what am I saying? Tom said, just give me the conclusion. What are you telling me to do? I'm wanting you and I, us together, begin to pray. And when we do, we're cementing these lively stones together through prayer. We're building up a spiritual house that isn't going to fall down when the wind blows. It isn't going to be moved when the tribulation comes. It's not going to be distracted when the powers of the enemy come flowing at us. It's not going to take us down and lift us up, actually. As we go deeper in God, we're going to realize that we're in a spiritual plane here. We're in a spiritual movement. This is what God wants. And if God is moving today like He did years ago, then we are knowing right now that miracles are going to take place. I want you to say amen to that. Healings are going to take place. Those that have been sick for a long time are going to be healed. And I mean that totally. Those that have been lukewarm are going to get set on fire for Jesus. Those that have been in a place of being lethargic are going to have movement in their muscles again. They're going to begin to realize, I got muscles I didn't even know I had. Those are called faith muscles. And they're beginning to grow again. I'm beginning to exercise those faith muscles. And then one of these days, God is going to call me. Oh, no, I can't do this. But He's going to say, pray for that person. And you're going to freeze. And then the Lord is going to inspire you. Say, no, do it. I want you to do it. Very quickly, I'll share this last thought. We'll get into communion. But a guy one day, it's an amazing story. Amazing. This took place, I believe, in India. But the guy was praying for God to use him in a way that he's never been used before. At 2:00 in the morning, and I've read this, now I may get the time wrong, it might be 2:30, 3:00. Just know it's in the early morning hours. The Lord gets him out of bed and says to him, I want you to go and start preaching to a tree in your backyard. Now what if God told you to do that? What would you say? Just
he's not doing it.
Huh?
You'd probably think you'd be imagining it.
Yes. That can't be God. It makes no sense. Why would God want me to do that? There's many stories like this. You need to read the story of a guy named George Mueller, missionary with orphanages in England, originally from Germany. But he lived totally by faith. He fed 150 kids when they didn't have an ounce of food in the house to feed those kids. It happens many, many times for him. But this guy then goes into his backyard and he starts preaching at a tree. And exactly what the Lord told him to say. I want you to tell the story about Jesus. The Lord Jesus. And he went on. He's the Savior of all mankind. He shed His life's blood for you. And he went on like that. And all of a sudden, out of the tree, this guy starts to talk to him. And I mean, I'm telling you, if it were me, I would like, ay, ay, ay. This is more than I bargained for. That guy comes down off the tree. True story. Off the tree and says, I was going to commit suicide tonight. I climbed up in this tree, maybe to jump down. I don't know what the reason was now, but went up in that tree and he said, you started telling me the story of Jesus, which I've never heard in my lifetime. And he said, tell me more about this Jesus. And the guy gets saved. I'm just saying, you guys, when you're walking in this realm, it's a little bit different. Please trust me here. I've been there. It's not the same. It's different. It's another realm. It's walking with Jesus. It's hearing God's voice. And you say, I don't know how to hear God's voice. I'm going to talk to you about hearing God's voice and how we can really know it's the Lord and not the Lord's telling us, like, you may get up at 2:00 in the morning and go preach at a tree and nothing happens, right? I mean, and the Lord may not move that way again. But what I'm saying is, let's get together with this thing. You see, that's what I'm saying. I knew we'd keep everything the same in the format, but God has led me through prayer and reviving prayer. Prayer is the most important thing we do. And the title of my message today, and I'm going to give it to you now, is Prayer is Caught, Not Taught. Now digest that for a minute. Prayer is caught. It's like you catch the flu, but this is different, right? Just think of it. Prayer is caught, not taught. You think about the... what is that virus called right now? Coronavirus? Yeah, there's a fear in our country. And it, rightly so, right? Of this thing catching you, right? Well, I can teach you all day today about that virus, but that may not help you not to catch the virus. That's what I mean about prayer. Prayer is caught. It's contagious. You say, I want your prayer life to be better. I want it to be stronger. Boom. Lay hands on her. I don't know what's going to happen. Your prayer life is going to, and I mean this, this is the Lord talking, you're going to have another experience in your prayer life. It's going to be new. Something you hadn't really thought of before. Something's going to come up. Maybe years ago you thought about this, but now God is going to raise this thing up to a level like, oh, wow, He's raising the level. Wow, I sense that for one, two, three. I do. Four. I'm not leaving anybody out on purpose. Trust me. You may already have a great prayer life. Yeah, be ready. Be ready. Open to what the Lord says. Amen. God is going to do something. The prophetic. I always look to Julie because I know God called her to be a prophetess. And she wrestles with that call every day of her life. She will wrestle. Oh, well, I don't know. And I say, I know, Julie. I know what you're going through. But yes, God has done that in you. And Anna, God raising her up spiritually and doing things and making thoughts come to your mind. I know I need to end, you guys, but I'm just telling you, I just see these things. I know God's going to heal Todd. I just know it. I don't know when it's going to be. He's back there. He's strengthened one eye because he got a patch over the other eye. You know, he could be in one of those movies, you know, the guy with the patch in the eye that, better step aside. I got a patch in my eye. And that's not really how Todd is it? Not at all. Todd's a very gentle guy. But here he is. And his eyes are not good. God's going to heal those eyes. God's going to do the work for you. He's going to do what He promised. God is going to do those things. Amen. God is going to give every need you have. God is going to... Now, here's the deal. And I got to end here in a moment. But listen to this. When God raises something up in you, He wants you to pray about it. God gives you the desires of your heart. Take it both ways it comes, you guys. Both ways. It doesn't matter to me. God gives you the desires, plants those desires, or those are the desires that are already in you, and he brings those to the surface. And when it rises to the surface, it's time to do something about it. Now's the moment. Today's the day. Now I got to do something about it. Amen. When I was younger, I liked, the bowling stories. But let me tell you the end of that bowling life for Tom. Went to a bowling alley, and there I was with the mix of all these guys I was part of, and there's a whole other crowd in those days at a bowling alley. And the Lord magnified the sound of the pins and the noise of the whole place at least double what it normally is. I couldn't stand it. And it made me then say, God, what do you want me to do about that? The bowling alley for me was not a good place to go. It was not the place that I was going to grow spiritually. So what the Lord did, He did something wonderful. He made the place unappealing to me. But I could have disobeyed God and said, oh, that's just me. Amen. But I said, okay. Okay, Lord. And since then until now, very seldom do I go into a bowling alley. It's usually where my wife gets hurt anyway. She actually, before we left for England, was it your ankle possibly broke? And your neck was crooked? I said, oh, that was another time. Her head was like that. I said, it'd be good to go bowling. She says, really? I'm not a doctor. She was going down the aisle and rolling the ball like that. And I thought, she says, I can't do this. I said, no, loosen it up. No. Then she went to the hospital, not laughing. But, okay. Am I clear today? I'm trying to be as good and precise as I can. prayer is caught, not taught, there'll be obstacles in the way of your prayer time. Be aware of those. You don't have to have knowledge about everyone, but just be aware of those. They were very subtle. And it's the little foxes, the Bible said, that spoil the vine. So this comes in a little bit at a time. All right. So that's today's message on prayer. Very important scripture I didn't get into was 1 John chapter 5, according to God's will that we want to pray. So I didn't touch on it, but I just want you to know that's how it goes. Amen. So let's pray, and then we'll move into communion. Father, thank you so much for your goodness, your kindness, your grace, and your mercy. Lord, teach us to pray. The disciples were wanting to know how to pray. And they saw it as something that was effective for you, Jesus. They wanted to be like you. Teach us, Lord, to be like you. To desire those things that are of the Lord. To want those things of God. To move forward for those things of God. So we can recapture, Lord, what the church might become lax with or let it slide. I pray for a revival of prayer in this congregation in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, we're going to move into communion. Thank you.